This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A prediction from the Democratic presidential nominee.
This is going to be a great week.
Kamala Harris made a surprise appearance on the first night of the Democratic National Convention and thanked the man who stepped aside to back her for president. Correspondent Matt Piper is in Chicago.
President Biden had tears in his eyes as the thousands here yelled, "Thank you, Joe," him responding this way.
America, I love you.
The president also mentioned what he and his vice president, Kamala Harris, have done.
We finally beat Big Pharma. And guess who cast the tie-breaking vote? Vice President, soon-to-be President, Kamala Harris.
And he said it's time to ban assault weapons again.
CBS's John Dickerson.
He also, at the end, turned and became kind of the grand marshal of the Harris-Walz campaign. Not just saying, oh, and Kamala Harris helped me too, but they will carry this on.
Former President Donald Trump is defending his verbal attacks on Harris. He explained in an exclusive interview with CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns in York, Pennsylvania.
Do you think those personal attacks are necessary for you to win the election?
I hope they're not. But if I don't think somebody's good at something, if somebody's not good at something, I've always spoken my mind.
There were protests near the convention in Chicago. Pro-Palestinian demonstrators were vocal.
We're here to free Palestine. We're here to say stop U.S. aid to Israel. We're here to stop a war and stop a genocide.
Israel says it recovered the bodies of six more hostages overnight. Reporter Linda Gradstein from Jerusalem.
The Israeli army said all six men, four of them in their late 70s, had been taken to Gaza alive in October and were killed over the course of the past 10 months.
George Santos, the first member of Congress to be expelled in more than 20 years, is facing up to 8 years in prison after he pleaded guilty to criminal charges and apologized to his political donors.
I allowed ambition to cloud my judgment, leading me to make decisions that were unethical.
The former Republican lawmaker admitted to using campaign contributions for personal expenses and lying to Congress. A jury in Texas has decided the parents of a former student who was 17 when he killed eight classmates and two teachers at his high school in Santa Fe in 2018 are not financially liable for his actions. CBS's Janet Chamlian.
The parents that testified during this trial, they didn't see any warning signs in advance and that they, in fact, had locked up their firearms.
S&P futures are up 5, Dow futures down 4. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. There will be some travel impacts due to the dignitaries today. Some roads in downtown Kenosha are getting closed for the J.D. Vance event near the courthouse, with the VP and her running mate moving from Chicago to Milwaukee later in the day. The Vance event is focused on crime and safety and features appearances by U.S. Senate nominee Eric Hovde and Representative Brian Stile. Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign rally in Milwaukee is set to get going at 7 tonight. We have live coverage of the DNC at civicmedia.us. Three teenagers, including two 17-year-olds and a 15-year-old, are facing charges of homicide and carjacking. It's in connection with the fatal shooting of a 49-year-old man in Racine last week. A criminal complaint says the victim was reportedly sitting on a porch with friends when he was shot. Investigators say one suspect allegedly suggested before the shooting that they, quote, kill the first person they see. Two of the suspects have already appeared in court. Bonds were set at $100,000 each. Police continue to search for a third suspect. The lowrider drives a little slower, and it's the subject of a new Racine art installation. The Racine Art Museum has unveiled an exhibit by local artist Renee Amato. It showcases the world of lowrider culture through photography and custom bicycles displayed in the museum's street-facing windows. The exhibit will run through next July and is supported by a grant from the United Way of Racine County. And there's still a beach warning for part of the day. Water off the Lake Michigan shoreline is still rough, with 3 to 6 foot waves expected through midday. That means there still is a caution about getting in the water. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WRJN.com.
The Pack gets ready for the Ravens. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers back at practice this Thursday. They'll host the Baltimore Ravens in a joint practice open to the public. Linebacker Christian Welch from Miola, Wisconsin, is having a good camp. Last week against the Browns, he recovered a fumble. This week against the Broncos, he intercepted a Jared Stidman pass tipped by Packers defensive lineman James Esther. Welch on what he saw on the play.
Yeah, I just kind of had my eyes on the quarterback at the time, and one of the D linemen, I'm not even sure who it was, tipped it. I just saw it go straight up. I'm like, I got to go try to high point that. So I just went up and grabbed it and come down with it and took a hit on the way down. So I was pretty happy. Yeah, we needed that at that point in the game, too.
Baseball tonight, Brewers in St. Louis to open a three-game set against the Cardinals. In golf, round one of the 104th Wisconsin State Open is underway at the Minocqua, Wisconsin Country Club. Ross Thompson atop the leaderboard. He's an assistant golf coach at UW-Madison. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
WRJN Sports with Mike Clemens is sponsored hourly by Pottawatomie Hotel Casino. Learn more online at paysbig.com.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 71 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northeast at 10 to 20. Tonight, clear 57. Tomorrow, sunshine 74. By Thursday, sunny with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
So I won one of them big stuffed animals one time at the fair, which I hated because I'd carry it around the whole time. And I win something, and the guy goes, what do you want? And I said, well, give me that goofy-looking minion right there, that little minion. He says, what? I said, that goofy-looking minion with the purple hat right there. He goes, that's the manager. You ever ride the rides at the fair? They scare the heck out of me. My little boy's, Daddy, can we ride the roller coaster? Yeah, we ain't riding the roller. You do realize, son, they put that up in an hour in the parking lot. Probably got a bunch of parts left over on that daggone thing. Remember last Christmas when I got you that bicycle and put it together in 50 minutes and you got on it and the wheels fell off? Remember that whole day right there? That's going to happen to you on that roller coaster right there.
And say hello to Alder Renee Kelly, 13th District Alder. I get so confused over. Everybody's got a district number. 13th District Alder. You're also on the County Board of Supervisors, 2nd District.
I am, yeah.
And you're also the Union Grove Treasurer.
Yeah.
You also are the dog catcher for the city of Racine. You also do those orange barrels all over Main Street, set those up.
No way.
And on top of that, you're a mother of two teenagers.
I am.
Oh, yes. My goodness. That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
The orange barrels plan. One. Wow.
The Wisconsin flower.
I'm telling you, it's a matter of time before I smash into one. Right. I don't know. Right now, it's like, you're practicing for the slalom in the Winter Olympics, going through some of the, you know, I came up to one the other day. I didn't know where the lane was. There were three lanes set up with the barrels, and I didn't know which one I'm supposed to go down. I didn't know if the center one was for the trucks. I didn't know if the left, if the right one was for me. I didn't know, and I took a chance, and I looked in the mirror. The guy behind me was following me, so I said, oh, I'm down the wrong one. Right. I got this guy behind me, and he's not going to be happy that I let him down the wrong trail.
Oh, my goodness.
So, how long have you been into, and I know what you're going to say about politics. I'm not into politics. You are. Right. Once you're in public office, you're into politics.
Exactly.
So, how long have you been doing this for?
Well, basically, since I ran for city council. So, unique story. The day of the cemetery shooting, my house was shot 15 times.
Now, when was that again?
It was summer, June 2nd of 2022.
I remember when that happened.
Yes, me too.
And you decided what?
I just, you know, I didn't feel like I had a lot of representation from the city administration, especially in my district. So I decided, you know, if I'm helping these people in my neighborhood, I might as well just do it officially. So I don't want anyone to ever feel like they don't have a voice, you know, and I definitely in that moment did not feel like I had a voice. So that's kind of my theme always when I'm running is to give a voice to the people.
Do you have a voice?
I do.
I mean, I always thought that you run for Congress, you're one of, especially in the United States Congress, you're one of 400 some odd people. Do you really make a difference or not? I mean, the council's a lot smaller, so your percentage of
I tend to have a loud voice.
Oh, you got a big mouth? Okay. I didn't know that about you. I'm sorry, I'll write that down. Renee has big mouth. Okay. Well, that's important.
It is.
You don't want to be a shrinking flower in there. You want to voice your opinion.
Correct.
Do you have any fights in there with people? I don't mean hate. I mean like shout down fights.
We have healthy debate.
That's a fight. Okay.
Yeah. It is entertaining for some of the people that like to follow what's going on. If you don't say anything or bring things up, then people won't know because some people aren't, you know, educating themselves on what they're doing there. And they're just, I call them button pushers. So, it's good to have a voice and to bring transparency to what we're doing in local government.
Let's go back to that shooting for a second. Yeah. We just kind of fluffed over that. So were you home when it happened?
My son was home.
That's got to be terrifying. Now, it's not, absolutely. Was it loud? You know, when bullets go through a window, it's like, it's real, you don't hear a loud bang as it goes into the house. You hear it outside if you're outside with the bang. Did he hear the gunfire? I mean,
he described it as fireworks going off inside the house.
Whoa.
Yeah, because there was went through tubs and cabinets and pretty much hit every room of my house from top to bottom. And I think when it hit the kitchen, because he was downstairs, when the glass tiles shattered, the backsplash tiles, that's when he really noticed it because it was glass going all over. So
how old was he when it happened?
16.
That's got to be terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
did they pick your house out or you just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time?
Unbeknownst to me, we had a couple gang houses. So I think they were kind of stopping by the neighborhood to pick up some other people and, just continued shooting throughout the district. So, and that was kind of one of the things when I went around to run for alderman, is when I'm knocking on doors, people like to show me their, come here, I got to show you these bullet holes in my house. So it's unnerving, really. But, it was my goal to kind of clean up the district and especially, selfishly and my street, which I worked very hard to do. So a lot of those houses have turned over now. And, we have some nice renters in that area. So,
well, the people who shot up your house didn't necessarily live there. They just drove through there and decided to unload their weapons in your house.
One of the people lived down the street.
Did they get him?
Yeah, they got two people.
Out of, you don't know, the whole carload.
Yeah, I don't know how many.
I would get them to talk. I'd probably wind up in prison with my methods, but I'd get him to talk. They could have killed people.
Absolutely.
They could have wiped down a whole family in that. And they don't care. That's just it.
Right.
They don't care. I watch enough of these cop videos and I watch, On Patrol Live on TV. I'm fascinated by how lousy some people are. They just don't care. And these high speed chases,
right,
they'd rather kill somebody on an intersection than get stopped because they got a suspended license.
Right.
If something is stupid, you just get a ticket.
Right.
Now you're going to prison.
Yeah.
For umpteen felonies just committed.
And you see a lot of that going on now with all the speeding. And I've literally never seen so many flipped over cars in this city of Racine as I have, as of recently. So, I don't know where they're going, where they're coming from, where they're going. I see a lot of temporary tags. So I don't know if they're just passing through. But it's crazy.
I look at that, too. I look at these violations. I look at when I'm stopped, when I look at somebody's plate to see if it's expired,
mm-hmm,
the little tag on there.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing I could do about it. What are you going to do? I mean, you get a ticket and you move on. So it's not worth going after. On this On Patrol Live I watch every weekend, it's amazing how many people they stop. And this is live TV. I mean, it's just random traffic stops around the country. How many people don't have a driver's license and they have drugs in the car,
right,
and or guns in the car?
Yes.
And these are random traffic stops for people whose taillight might be out, mm-hmm, or that light above the license plate. There was one woman on there who got stopped because her light above the license plate was out. She got out and screamed at the cop, "Who looks at the light above their license plate?" She said, "I defy you to tell me you ever looked at the light above your license plate before you took off from your house every day." And the cop really didn't know what to say. I mean, who checks the light above their license plate every day?
Right.
So she really let him have it. Anyway, but when they stop people like that, they find guns, drugs, and the person doesn't have a license, doesn't have insurance for the car, it's not registered, or it's a stolen car.
Correct.
This goes on a lot. Not in, we're talking around the country. We're not just talking about Racine.
Well, and a lot has changed. And as far as, you know, I'm a little bit of a nerd when it comes to public safety. As if you were to, you know, look at any of my brochures that I passed out during my campaign. But, you know, a lot of it has to do with policies that were changed since probably 2020. So I don't know, you know, I can't say for sure of what has happened within the city limits, but I know that they definitely have had some changes over the time that have basically restricted the way that they do their policing, which is unfortunate. So, and like you said, you know, back to like the broken windows type of theory, you know, those smaller things, that infractions that you would pull somebody over for, you usually
then you find
going,
bigger
that's
stuff.
Where you're going to find the bigger stuff. Yeah.
And they just had a police chase on the interstate this past week. And people run for a reason. They don't run for just because they feel like it. They run for a reason. They had that thing at the hospital in Milwaukee, a 15-year-old kid in the parking lot beat up this woman in her 60s. She was a nurse at the hospital. She was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He walked out. He beat her up and took her car. And this is like the fifth or sixth time he's done it, and he's 15 years old. So the judge says, you're going to detention, no bond. You're staying there. And you're going to be tried as an adult. This has got to come to an end.
Right.
I mean, we can't have, you're terrorizing people on the streets. You're not going to stop.
Yes.
So incarceration is the only thing. People say, well, you know, you got to rehabilitate him. No, you got to punish him.
Right.
See, if it was up to me and I was a judge, everybody would get a life in prison with no parole. See, I'd last 9 seconds of that job.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and it's unfortunate that, you know, a lot of the crime that's being committed now is, unfortunately, by these younger kids. I call them kids and teenagers. And, you know, what do you do? Because they get a slap on the wrist and then they are back out on the street again. So
don't start on that because I'll start screaming. You know. With me is Alder Renee Kelly. She's 13th District Racine Alder, 2nd District Racine County Supervisor, Union Grove Treasurer. I'm going to find out about that job. All right, because I can handle my, I played Monopoly. I can figure out how to do it, be a banker. I can do that. Okay, more coming up in just a moment here. 717, local news, Tamla's Hits at WRJN.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for child care by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
Hungry for the freshest and most delicious sandwiches? Lee's Deli has you covered. Serving Racine for over 50 years, every bite is delightful. Hot ham and cheese, Reuben, meatball sub, turkey and cheese. Lee's Deli will leave you not just full, but fully satisfied. Check out the brand new online ordering system at leesdeliracine.com for pickup and delivery options. Also, stop in the shop on Washington Avenue for the new Lee's Loyalty Program. Start reaping the tasty rewards at Lee's Deli and Racine, open 7 days a week.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former Member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
America's most respected newscaster of the 20th century and beyond had his home on WRJN for 56 years, and he was proud to be here. Listen.
With all of the changes in the broadcasting industry, mergers and new owners, shuffled formats and automation, it is nice today to salute the call letters and the principles and the policies of WRJN in Racine.
Now you can hear archived episodes of Paul Harvey and the rest of the story twice each weekday on WRJN at 7:25 in the morning with Don Rosen and at 12:05 with Cindy Huber. Not only timeless hits, but now timeless wisdom from Paul Harvey on
WRJN in Racine.
Today's WRJN Big Deal of the Day. 50% savings at the Lanes on 20 at Racine. Knock down those pants, then experience a taste of victory inside Angry Brothers Pub with ice-cold drinks, delicious bites, and an atmosphere to make your night a grand slam. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just looking to have a ball, head on down to the Lanes on 20. Go to WRJN.com, click on the Big Deals tab, and purchase $20 gift certificates for just $10. Today only at WRJN Big Deals.
Something sounds different on WRJN. We're refreshing hometown radio with local news and timeless hits. Our on-air host will keep you up to date with local, state, and national news every hour, along with Mike Clemens Sports and, of course, the local weather forecast. Then Don Rosen, Cindy Huber, and Kurt Vollman will talk about what's happening right here in our city, county, and state while spinning those timeless hits that are so much fun to hear again. You can hear our Civic Media talk shows on 540 AM WAUK or on the Civic Media app. You can hear WRJN on 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM, and on our historic AM frequency, 1400 AM. Local news, timeless hits.
WRJN. It's 7:21. Paul Harvey and the rest of the story coming up in a moment. We're talking to Alder Renee Kelly, 13th District Alder and 2nd District Racine County Supervisor, Union Grove Treasurer. How do you keep these jobs straight? And you got another job, too, on top of it. You're the money job where you got to... the one that's supporting you. So how do you keep all these jobs straight? How do you know what you're doing when you walk in these places?
I know. It's like you taking the hats on and off, you know, constantly juggling balls in the air. So
I mean, I work at a couple of different radio stations, and I'm like, where am I? I don't know where I am.
You know, sometimes it feels like that, but I just, you know, honestly, it's just more tools in your tool belt to do the job that you're needing to do.
So what's your pet project? The one that you want to get before you're done with life, before you're done with, I know I'm going to say this is going to upset you, politics. So what do you want to do? What is your pet project that you want to see done for the city of Racine or the county of Racine?
Well, let's address the city first.
Okay.
I've been in that one a little bit longer. So, you know, for... getting probably, I guess, the top of my list would be to see the contracts for the police and fire to get those signed. Seems like an ongoing fiasco with the city. So I guess that would be on the top of my list. You know, trying to get transparency and trying to, you know, just a little more fiscal responsibility, shall we say.
So contracts to city and fire. What's the matter with the contracts now?
They are still not signed from, back, I guess that expires, December 31st of 2024.
Who's supposed to sign them?
Top of the food chain.
The mayor?
Yeah.
He's supposed to sign? He didn't sign
the
him?
Attorneys or, you know, whomever's representing him. So, yeah.
But the fire and police are still working.
They are, but it doesn't help to recruit when you have contracts sitting on a table. I mean, think about it. I always try to put myself in other people's situations, and you can talk about, you know, retention and trying to bring new people onto on board. I mean, if I was them and I was looking, you know, if I was out looking for a job, I'd be like, I don't know, you know. So I would like to see that. I would like to see us totally fully staffed in both of those departments. And I know now, obviously, it's very hard to, you know, get anybody to want to be a police officer nowadays, especially.
I wouldn't want to become a cop.
No, it's not, frightening.
People yelling at you.
Yeah.
People not listening to you. And you can't really fight back. You got to be professional because there are body cams watching everything you do these days.
Yep.
I'd last 9 seconds in that job. There's no way.
Yeah.
Because the first time somebody didn't do what I asked them to do lawfully, I'd be screaming at them, yelling at them.
Yeah.
I mean, just I couldn't put up with that kind of stuff. And they do it in such a nice, professional way where they're calm and the person they're talking to is going out of their mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see this on that live PD show all the time. And people are screaming at them. Then you got to chase people. You got to fight with them. And you have to follow the rules. They don't.
Right.
There's no rules for them.
Yeah.
For you, you have to follow the rules.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even last 9 seconds. I'm like 8 seconds in that job.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a certain kind of person that would do that. Same thing for the fire department.
Yes.
You know, one of my best friends in high school was a guy named Jeffrey Guja, him and his brother, Gary Guja, twins. And we always hung out together in high school. And then you leave high school, you move on, you forget about him. On 9/11, he was a lieutenant in the New York City Fire Department. And he was running in the building when everybody was running out. He died when the building collapsed on him. So I was talking to his brother, his twin brother. And he said, we couldn't believe it. This guy goes to, my brother goes to work every day. And one day he just didn't come home. And that was it. And it took a long time to find him in that rubble. It didn't come the next day. And it was just so hard to believe that somebody would do that, run into a building that was collapsing when everybody else was running out. And he did it. He was lieutenant the fire department. His name is on the World Trade Center today.
Wow.
Jeffrey Guja, spelled with a G.
Mm.
And I don't know how people do these jobs.
Yeah.
You know, I start complaining if the air conditioning isn't just right in here. I said, I'm coming in. Fix the air conditioning first. I want to get the air conditioning just right. And these people do these jobs, and you're right. It must be difficult to recruit them. It takes a special kind of person to want to be a firefighter or a police person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, my daughter, she's on this goal. She wants to be a detective. So.
Oh, brother.
I know.
Well, that's not bad. You get to use your brain and you figure things out. But still, it's a dangerous job. Anytime you pack a gun, it's a dangerous job.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yes, for sure.
How old is she now?
She'll be 16 next month.
You still have time to talk around it. I mean, you still have time to help her out with that job.
Yeah.
Hold on. We're talking to Renee Kelly. More with Renee Kelly, alder for the city of Racine, and also a supervisor for the county and Union Grove treasurer. I got to find out about that. What made you take that job? All right, so we'll talk with Renee in just a moment. Right now, it's time for Paul Harvey's Rest of the Story on WRJN. To learn how your business can be a sponsor of one of the most popular shows ever on WRJN, call us during business hours, 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. It could be one of four category exclusive sponsors to sponsor Paul Harvey's.
Now, the rest of the story. Jack Cohen was 42 and fed up. At 28, life had seemed so different, so promising. Lured by the same vine-covered cottage dream, he and Joyce got married and moved to the suburbs, Englewood, New Jersey. Jack got into the paint and siding business there, and he loved it for a while. But this is the rest of the story. William James once wrote that the deepest principle of human nature is the craving to be appreciated. Let me run that by again. The deepest principle of human nature is the craving to be appreciated. And nobody appreciated Jack Cohen, or so it seemed. He was a good paint salesman, but no one ever once came up and said so. After a couple of years, he landed his first paying job in show business. He thought he'd get some creditor attention there. He had a summer of entertaining at a tiny hotel in the Catskills. He worked for $12 a week plus room and board, and yet not even at that modest setting was young Jack Cohen appreciated. His act was so unappreciated that a bouncer, a fellow employee, mind you, once came up to him after the show and said, "You stink." So Jack got married, and he retired to the suburbs at 28, certain that the happiness and the gratitude that had thus far eluded him would now catch up. But it never did. So Jack Cohen was 42 when he made the big decision. He was going to quit the paint and siding business. He was going to go back out there and get his long-awaited pat on the back, whatever it took, even if it meant risking everything to do it. And this time he was appreciated. In fact, he made a living relating to others who believed that they, too, had been taken for granted. His marriage to Joyce had had smooth spots and rough spots, and yet on balance, Jack was a good husband, and he was a good father to their children, Brian and Melanie, but he wanted to hear it. He wanted somebody to say it at least once. And then Jack started looking around him at the rows of cute little houses down the street with the cars parked outside and the basketball hoops on the garage. And Jack started thinking, go inside those houses, inside the heads of the people living in there, and things turn out to be a lot less charming than they appear. It had been so for Jack Cohen. Nobody had appreciated him. And the more he thought about it, it seemed that everyone had to go through much of life without any appreciation. Before Jack sold paint and siding back in his pre-married 20s, he had taken a stab at show business, remember? He'd even thought he was on his way to becoming a star. It had seemed a reasonable enough objective, especially his father's vaudeville background as a comic juggler made him think that he could succeed. His father had gone by the stage name of Philip Roy. Son Jack adopted that last name, Roy, and started playing amateur nights in theaters. But still, well, you have never heard of Jack Cohen. Because when Jack returned to show business, he wanted to do so utterly anonymously. Utterly anonymously. He didn't want to trade on his father's name. His own name had demonstrated no particular penchant for success, so he asked the nightclub owner friend. He asked the owner of this nightclub to make up a name, any name, he said, and the absurd name which that nightclub owner invented for Jack is the one that worked. Along with the running gag that emerged from his own real life. I don't get no respect. You know that champion of invisible men everywhere as Rodney Dangerfield. Only now you know the rest of the story.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. There will be some travel impacts due to the dignitaries today. Some roads in downtown Kenosha are getting closed for the J.D. Vance event near the courthouse, with the VP and her running mate moving from Chicago to Milwaukee later in the day. The Vance event is focused on crime and safety and features appearances by U.S. Senate nominee Eric Hovde and Representative Brian Stile. Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign rally in Milwaukee is set to get going at 7 tonight. We have live coverage of the DNC at civicmedia.us. Three teenagers, including two 17-year-olds and a 15-year-old, are facing charges of homicide and carjacking. It's in connection with the fatal shooting of a 49-year-old man in Racine last week. A criminal complaint says the victim was reportedly sitting on a porch with friends when he was shot. Investigators say one suspect allegedly suggested before the shooting that they, quote, kill the first person they see. Two of the suspects have already appeared in court. Bonds were set at $100,000 each. Police continue to search for a third suspect. The lowrider drives a little slower, and it's the subject of a new Racine art installation. The Racine Art Museum has unveiled an exhibit by local artist Renee Amato. It showcases the world of lowrider culture through photography and custom bicycles displayed in the museum's street-facing windows. The exhibit will run through next July and is supported by a grant from the United Way of Racine County. And there's still a beach warning for part of the day. Water off the Lake Michigan shoreline is still rough, with 3 to 6 foot waves expected through midday. That means there still is a caution about getting in the water. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
From corner to corner in our state, many small communities still struggle to try to provide broadband internet access to its citizens. But why? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Tuesday. It's not been lack of access to federal funds to try to get these projects going. Brittany Beyer is an extension specialist in economic development. She just joined the governor's task force on broadband access. That was started back in 2020. She says Wisconsin has just gotten a stamp of approval from the federal government on its 5-year broadband expansion plan. That means the state could get $1.1 billion to bring high-speed internet access to all of its residents. It's called the BEAD program. But she said there's still challenges.
A lot of the providers need to make sure the business case is sound for them to build out their infrastructures in rural communities. So where there's less density and population, that bargain is harder for them to manage. That's still going to be the case or in perpetuity. And so that's a major piece that a lot of communities have to think through.
Brittany Beyer, she is one of the members of the governor's task force on broadband access. She said when internet access is provided, communities see a response. She said they've generally seen housing go up by 10%. Educational opportunities for students become more level with those in urban areas. And she also says some of the largest employers in rural Wisconsin are schools, which need that internet access.
Learn how to benefit your farm with Compeer Financial's Navigating Tech Investments Agri-Mindset webinar on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Sign up online at compeer.com/register for this powerful webinar to benefit your farm on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Go to compeer.com/register now to get the most out of your farm's tech investments on August 21st. Compeer Financial is a full credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Zatavo soybean seed, you get a big one, 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF Genetics, proprietary germplasm and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Zatavo soybean seed.
And this week's crop progress report shows Wisconsin farmers have pretty much wrapped up their winter wheat harvest, and now they're looking at the corn. 62% of our corn crops rated good to excellent this week, and 62% of our soybeans also called good to excellent. That's a quick update on what's happening in food news on a Tuesday. I'm PM Yankee.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 71 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northeast at 10 to 20. Tonight, clear 57. Tomorrow, sunshine 74. By Thursday, sunny with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Recess alone was like Godspeed. You were on your own. I mean, think about it. Our favorite game, dodgeball. You were taking a large, heavy ball, and you were pummeling each other in the face as hard as you can. That's where we had to learn the Matrix. To keep from getting our teeth knocked in. The PE equipment was insane. We had merry-go-rounds. They're metal death traps. They were only fun if you would spin them 60 miles an hour. And then we would try and run and jump on them while they're moving. It's like trying to jump on the hood of a moving vehicle. But there was nowhere to land. There was already 20 friends in a nook just going around. Couldn't touch anything because it's 135 degrees in the sun. Inevitably, one friend would fall off, get trapped. Ah! Bleeding from the kneecap down. We're trying to get our teacher's attention. She's like, 20 more minutes. This is me time.
I remember those rides. We had the monkey bars in school. And she's right. On a hot day, those things were like 130 degrees when you try to touch them.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And you used to fall off in the middle. You couldn't get out. And there's no teacher around, no one to help you. And you don't want to cry because it's going to be remembered for the rest of your life by everybody if you cried when you fell off the monkey bars. Do they still have monkey bars at schools?
I think so, yeah. What I don't think, merry-go-rounds.
Yeah, though. We didn't call them merry-go-rounds, but I know we have one at the drive-in. And used to push it around and get it fat. And they had to hop on and grab the, or it sent you flying on the gravel somewhere. And again, you didn't want to cry because all your friends were there watching.
That's
so you had to suck it up. You were telling me during the break there about 9/11 where you were.
Oh, yeah.
Tell that story. That's, you know, it's like everybody remembers where they were at certain times. And one of them is, where were you when 9/11 occurred? And you remember where you were.
Yeah. We flew out early out of West Palm Beach and we're heading to California. Our layover was in Houston, Texas. So we had arrived just as the first plane had hit the first tower. So we got off in the airport and it was just sort of, you know, we're just waking up from a little nap and I was discombobulated, didn't understand why people were running through the airport and, you know, people were saying, oh, everything's shut down. So we went to our gate. You know, our ultimate flight was going to Tahiti for our honeymoon. So, but they ended up diverting like 21 international flights to Houston, Texas, people that didn't even speak English. And then shoved us all down in baggage claim at the same time and were like, get out.
Get out where? Where do you go?
They took every taxi cab company and intertwined us through the parking ramps, essentially, after we got our luggage. And they had the taxi cabs lined up a mile long, and they had just picking us up. They didn't care where. They just wanted you out of there because it was George Bush's international airport, you know, and they thought that was a target.
And you were on your way to Tahiti?
Yeah, we were laying over. We were landing in, we were supposed to land in L.A., and then from there, we're supposed to go to Tahiti for our honeymoon. So.
Did you ever make it?
No.
Was that an ominous sign?
I guess so.
So where'd you spend your honeymoon? At the airport? No, I didn't even at the airport. You had in a taxi cab circling the city.
Yeah, so we ended up spending the night, and then actually the hotel manager, assistant manager, clocked out and took us in his little car and drove us to an hour away to the nearest vehicle that we could get for rental because everybody was trying to get where they were going. And we drove, which was actually kind of cool. Seen, you know, road runners and little dust storms and things like that when you're driving. Yeah, exactly. It was very cool. And we drove up to Big Bear Mountain where my cousin was staying, and then went to LA from there where she lived and spent a couple days, and then went to Napa Valley and went.
So
up
what happened
coast.
To all the Tahiti yeah. money you spent? Did you get it back?
Yeah, eventually after, you know, that's when.
So instead of Tahiti, you spent your entire time in a rental car going out to California.
Yeah. But, you know, hey.
You're lucky you weren't in New York when it happened, or in the Pentagon, or in Shanksville.
I think, yeah.
Shanksville, exactly. Pennsylvania.
Yeah, yeah.
I was at that. We drove past there, and there's a monument there to it. We didn't go into the field, but there's a sign on the roadway. And it says, this is where it happened. I said, wow.
Yeah.
This is where it happened. Where those people just gave up their lives to save other lives. A whole plane full of people just said, we're going to sacrifice ourselves. They got in the plane that morning thinking they were just getting to a destination. And they all became international world heroes. Just like that.
Yep.
Let's roll.
Right. My daughter's bus stopped there on their eighth grade field trip on their way to D.C. So she sent me some pictures from there. So it was pretty cool.
Wow. What selfless people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I could do something like that. I always wonder what I would do in a situation like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know. I'm sure these people never thought they'd do something like that. Let's roll.
Yep.
And they took the plane down.
In the moment. Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm-mm. Unhappier thoughts.
Yeah.
So now you are the Union Grove treasurer. How'd you wind up with that job? You don't even live in Union Grove. How'd that happen?
by happenstance. So I've been doing accounting for years. I was working in Kenosha since I moved back from Florida, basically since I've come back. I worked at Parkside for 3 years. I worked for an electrician. I worked at Gateway. And then I had gotten the opportunity when I was working at Village of Summers for about a year and a half as the accountant. I had somebody approach me about a position that they didn't have a treasurer, hadn't had one for a while. So I went ahead and I interviewed and I got the job.
Is it hard to be Union Grove isn't that big. But is it hard to be the treasurer for that? Do you have to find missing money? I mean, how does that work? What are you looking at when you're a treasurer?
So, well, there's, you know, state statutory kind of guidelines on what your job, your role is for, you know, whether you're a clerk or whether you're the treasurer. So, you know, you're in charge of the taxes, you're in charge of the budget, making sure there's a balanced budget, making sure you're, you know, keeping track of that. So
whiz.
I know. Yeah, it's a little bit, but, you know, it's good. You know, I'm learning about all the TIDs and, you know, everything else that, you know, all the different things there is to do within my job purview. So
I just have to keep track of my checkbook and the company where I pay my life insurance premium to. I mailed it out on July 31st. It usually takes a few days and they cash it. Well, they didn't cash it, so I called them up. And I spoke to somebody in some foreign country. And we weren't getting anywhere because I said, well, there's only two places where it could have screwed up. The post office and you, because I mailed it at the post office. So there's only two possible places it could have screwed up. She goes, well, we never got it. I said, well, how do you know? We never got it. I said, but you don't know that. We never got it. I said, give me a supervisor. We never got it. It's going to be over. And it was on a card. Anyway, so spoke to the supervisor and she said to me, well, we never received it. How do you know? how do you know you didn't lose it? You could have lost it. And she kept saying, well, here's how it happens. And I was shocked. There's a fast machine that rips open your envelope, separates the check and the coupon, and then it's processed. I said, well, maybe you lost it in that process. No, I don't think so. I'm double checked. I did an advance check. We didn't get it. You know what? Last night they cashed the check.
Wow.
They did get it. It was probably laying around and they just never found it. Well, they cashed it. In the interim, I sent him another one. So what's going to happen with that one now? See, I couldn't deal with this money thing. I mean, I start screaming at people because they give me, you know, well, we never got it. You don't know you never got it. How do you know that? And it turns out they did get it. They right. always blame the post. Well, the post office lost it. Well, I mailed about three or four checks that day. Everybody got theirs and cashed them in 5 days. I doubt whether the post office said, gee, this is Don's life insurance. I think we're going to throw that in the garbage, like Newman, the post guy on Seinfeld.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, it's not sitting in someone's closet. Anyway.
Right.
Okay, so that's the treasurer job.
Uh-huh.
So what's the difference between the county and the city job, other than county's bigger?
Yeah.
Is there a different process for...
County government is so much different than
easier or harder.
City. I think, well,
that's easier.
It's a lot to, you saw my hesitation. Okay, I have to be politically correct here. So it's a lot more to learn for me. So I usually stay pretty quiet at the meeting. I'm soaking it all in. I'm learning the process. Things are run much differently. Historically, the county has always been very mild tempered and, does things with a lot of class. Things can get a little controversial at the city level. So it gets a little hairy sometimes in some of those meetings. But for most of the part, I enjoy, the tools that give me the job, get the job done, I should say.
Let's talk about, and start on your list here. I want to get these in before or anything before we lose you here.
Sure.
Current events.
Oh, my. Yes.
Let's talk about some of those going on around now. So many things going on. I listen to the newscasts. Our local, we have a local newscaster. Then we have a state newscaster from Civic Media. Then we have CBS News. So much stuff going on with the local politics, local. I don't know how people keep track of it all. I'm so glad I just have to sit back and listen to it.
Yeah. So you want to do the big one first?
Okay. Is that a big one?
Okay. Let's start with the county. So obviously current events would be the sales tax. That's a big topic.
Just get rid of it.
So they want to implement, a 0.5% of sales tax for the entire county. So
0.5% more.
We don't have one currently in the county.
Oh, that's right. You're talking the county sales tax.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. So
they want 0.5% on top of the city, the state, the federal government. They want to have another 0.5% on there. Okay.
Yes. So we have a lot of questions yet. So we're in the middle of, trying to get some of our questions answered.
Well,
so,
how much would that bring in 0.5%? Doesn't sound like a lot when you say 0.5%. How much are we talking?
Well, because it's never been done here before, they're guesstimating $20 million.
That's a lot of 0.5%.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do with the money?
Well, as you know, there's mandated services for the county that the government doesn't really, they mandate them, the state does, but they don't really pay for the services that they're mandating. They don't give the municipalities that money. So you have to fill the hole somewhere. But me, with my financial brain, I guess this is where my multiple hats come in. I'm like, well, wait a second.
Because you think money.
Yeah.
You think numbers.
Yeah. And I have to see the numbers to be able to understand what they're talking about. I can't just say, okay, I'm okay with this. Like, I have to see it and understand it, and you have to explain it to me. I can't just have it, forced down.
I want to talk, we have more to talk about this $20 million. Because that's a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're doing what you do now without the money. So what are we going to do more with the money? Hold on a second there. We're getting down to the nitty gritty. This is it now. This is the 60 minutes part of the program. We got all the pleasantries out of the way now.
Yeah.
This is the Dateline part of the program.
Oh, my goodness.
Now she's sorry she came in. Alder Renee Kelly is here, 13th District, Racine Alder. and 2nd District Racine County Supervisor and Union Grove Treasurer. Do you prefer alderman, alderwoman?
I don't really care either way.
I know. Everybody I ask has a different answer to it. So I just say alder.
That's fine.
It just, you know, I never heard that phrase until like a few months ago.
Because the alder is really a tree.
I know. That's what they said. I think that was Melissa Caprillion told me that. Yes. Alder's really a tree.
It is.
Okay. All right. More coming at 7:49 at WRJN Local News. Timeless hits. Keep it here.
Every day is a great day to visit O&H Danish Bakery. And all this week, O&H is featuring their Blackberry Lemon Tart Kringle. Perfectly balanced sweet and tart flavors of fresh blackberries and lemons make it a refreshing treat. Topped with creamy icing and O&H's buttery streusel make it irresistible. So enjoy it this week. While you're there, pick up an O&H Lemon Pound Cake. It's specially priced at just $5.50. O&H Danish Bakery in Racine, Sturtevant, and Oak Creek.
As the world around us becomes more and more virtual, sometimes it's nice to take a step back and add a personal touch to celebrate your loved ones. Personal Touch by Julie is a family-owned and operated florist in the Mount Pleasant area for over 47 years with unmatched customer service and talented floral design, making them the area's number one choice for any occasion. Call today at 262-886-9444 and bring your ideas to life. Or better yet, go see the artistic elegance yourself at 5445 Spring Street in Mount Pleasant.
Everybody knows, if it's summer season, it's festival season. And Pottawatomie has the winningest one, WinFest. You could make it an awesome August with a share of $500,000. Play with your rewards card for entries. Hourly drawings every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m. 25 grand in cash and prizes each drawing. It's the $500,000 WinFest. Get in on the fun. Only at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee. More info at PaceBig.com. Must be 21 and a rewards member to play.
Classic pizzas, golden fried chicken, hot sandwiches. Ferraro's in Racine satisfies every lunch and dinner craving. August brings the ultimate fusion with the cheeseburger pizza. Juicy beef, melted cheese, and red onions in a signature sauce. Topped with pickles and a special dressing. Also, check out Ferraro's assortment of frozen pizzas. Ideal for a quick meal, special occasion, or as a delicious solution for your group's next fundraiser. Slide on by for the best pizza pie at Ferraro's. Meacham Road, just north of Taylor Avenue.
Hi, this is Don Rosa here with Cindy Huber.
We'd like to invite experienced outside salespeople to join us here at WRJN.
Help us connect our listeners with local businesses and have fun doing it. You'd be joining Racine's longtime source for local news and timeless hits, a station people have depended on for over 97 years.
And of course, you'd be working with us. And that's just one of the many benefits WRJN provides. You'd be able to sell sponsorships to Green Bay Packer games, Badgers games, high school sports, and of course, our shows too.
WRJN is also the home of Big Deals, a great way for people to save real money on great food and services around town. So get ready to write down the information you'll need to apply.
Send your resume to Chris Morrell at chris.moreau@civicmedia.us or apply online at civicmedia.us and click on the About tab. Then work with us. Who knows? Maybe we'll be having coffee together in a few weeks.
I don't drink coffee.
I'll have yours.
Maybe Kringle? Renee Kelly is with me here. We just talked during the break about Jonathan Delagrave. You worked closely with him at the county board.
Yes.
And he was county executive. Mm-hmm. And that must have been a shocker.
It was. He was also a friend of mine. So I was still hard to talk about. But yeah, it's very sad. Very sad. I was, I'm friends with his ex-wife, Katie. So yeah, that was pretty shocking. I didn't believe it when I got the phone call. So
speaking about the county, we're talking about the $20 million. Hey, we put a 0.5% sales tax on. You know, I remember going on vacation in New Hampshire when I was a kid and there was no sales tax. The price on the item was the price you paid. That was freaky for me because I wasn't used to that.
Right.
I was used to, well, what's it with tax? There's no tax. How do you survive without a tax? Now, I'm sure they had income tax. I think my daughter lives in Florida. You live there. And I think she said there's no state tax down there. Is that true? Or she doesn't pay it. One or the other.
Yeah, but they have sales tax.
Big time?
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any state income tax down there in Florida.
It's 7. Well, where I lived, it was 7%. So I lived in Palm Beach County. So
that's sales tax.
I believe so. Don't quote me.
But I'm talking about income tax. Oh, income tax. So there is none.
No, I don't think there is.
So how do they, we have it. How do they survive without it? That's what I don't get. And even with 7% sales tax, more money would come in with an income tax. I don't know how people do that.
There's a ton of money down there.
Well, my parents lived down there for 10 years, so they had money when they were down. When they came out, they didn't have a penny. But when they were down there, they went with $1 million, but they came out with a lot less than that.
I'm sure.
Okay, so that's a big one for you. That's a big issue they're working on for the county.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and your issue with the city now is getting these contracts signed for police and fire because you're looking for recruits to come in, and it's tough when you don't have a contract.
Right, yeah.
So, okay, those are the two big ones.
Yep, absolutely.
What else do you have on your list there?
We've got some things going on with this little thing called water with the Mount Pleasant and City Racine. So
I was just talking about that with somebody the other day.
Yeah.
This whole water thing.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever see the movie The Big Short?
I don't remember.
It's about the housing crash.
Oh.
That took place that 20 years ago or so. And it's a true story. Exactly. This is when, what's the name of that, stock in Wall Street firm that went down in flames. I can't think of the name of them right now. Goldman Sachs. This is exactly that time when Goldman Sachs went under and just went out of business. And the guy, there was a doctor who predicted this whole collapse would take place. And people were going to him. How did you know? He said, because I crunched the numbers and I knew it was going to happen. And he said the next big thing, at the end of the movie, he's on the screen and he says, I'm moving on to water. That's the next crisis in this world, water. And immediately I said, I better start getting start loading up on ice mountain water.
Right.
I mean, water is that it was, you can't live without it. So what's going on with this water thing with Mount Pleasant?
So from what I'm seeing from the outside, and this is not any sort of thing that I'm disclosing privately or whatever, you have to allow for business to be able to continue on. So if somebody applies to the city to allow a project that they need water for and they're paying 100% of that, you need to allow that to continue to happen. If you want to negotiate some sort of new deal or whatever it is, then do that. But you have to act in good faith and continue to allow projects to come through. You can't stymie or, you know, create a building moratorium just because you want another, you know, this other slice of the pie, i.e. Microsoft.
What a debacle that was, huh?
Yeah.
Mount Pleasant. I remember when they were down here, I think President Trump was here with Scott Walker, the ninth wonder of the world. And this is going to... What a fizzle that was. Foxconn.
Well, nobody saw that coming. I mean, you know.
But they should have seen it coming. When you push people out of homes like they did in that area, force them to sell their homes and give up their, you know, there have been generations in their farms and everything to give it up. Didn't anybody check this company out first? Didn't somebody do like a due diligence on this company to see that they don't keep their word?
Right. I think it's partly that and partly COVID happened and a lot of different things happened in the economy because of it. So,
wow.
It was like a perfect storm.
So where's your future? What do we see here? Right now, you have three jobs. You have a fourth job. You have your private job, which, you know, you're out of the public sector.
So my real job is the finance director / treasurer of Union Grove. That's my full-time job.
Oh, is that the full-time job?
It is.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't know that. So, I didn't know you just show up every Wednesday afternoon to to look at the books.
Oh, my goodness, no.
So that's a full-time job.
More hours than, you know, needed. So that's where I'm at right now. Maybe have me come back here in a year and I'll have a different story.
We're
going to
have you back before a year.
But I'm learning all the aspects of that job right now. And it helps me in these other jobs that I have, you know, city and county. Just puts more tools in my tool belt to be able to, you know, better make decisions.
You know, I'm so glad there's people like you around. Because if the world were waiting for Don Rosen to be around, nothing would get done. I mean, just ask my wife. Nothing gets done. She's got to, like, you know, I'm learning the piano now.
Right.
I'm taking piano lessons. And she's a piano teacher, so she could teach me the piano. And I don't practice. And every night, did you practice today? And I'm not going to lie. No, it's very obvious I didn't because I still can't play the tune. And I just wish I had that drive. Now, we're also teaching an 11-year-old girl. And she's already going two hands and all this stuff on. And I'm, you know, I'm doing the theme from Jaws. You know, It's only two notes. Actually, it's more than that. But it's two notes. And I just don't have the drive. You got such drive to do all these jobs.
I know. It's crazy. I don't know where.
How do you watch TV with all these jobs at night? I mean, how do you watch Big Brother and Survivor?
Well, I actually don't have cable, so I don't expose myself to all of that. But, you know, I have two dogs. I have a cat. Two teens, so that kind of keeps me busy.
Two dogs and a cat?
Yeah.
How do they get along?
Great. They're actually all friends.
When you're home, they're friends.
Right,
What's going on when you're not home?
Oh, there's a lot of sleeping going on. You know, I guess just to wrap up, I would say that, you know, my goal as far as, you know, being in these political positions, I would say that, you know, the number one thing that people were really concerned about